Thankful you are here this morning. So thankful that if you're a visitor that you've decided to be with us to worship God together this morning. We encourage you to come back at 5 p.m. for our second service. And just following up with what Donnie said, you are our honored guest today. And so we want you to get to know each other and we want to get to know you better. So make yourself known to someone this morning by filling out a visitor's card or just introducing yourself to someone and trying to stay afterwards and have a discussion with one of our members. In our current culture and entertainment industry, they typically display the father as someone who's mindless or spineless or who's insignificant and needless, not needing to be involved or included in the family role or the family design. Growing up as a kid, two of the worst examples that I could think of in trying to come up with this lesson was Homer Simpson and Al Bundy. Those were two of the more popular shows growing up as a kid, and it's terrible now to think back because they were horrible examples of how the father should be. There were just a couple of goofs who weren't able to lead anyone, let alone themselves in any direction. And they were placed there as a smearing and mockery of the design of fatherhood. And that's not God's plan. And the text that was read for us in Malachi 4:6, which is repeated in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it reads as follows: "He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a prepared people for the Lord." So we know that this is speaking of John the Baptizer, who was going to prepare the way for the coming Messiah and his kingdom being inaugurated and established. He was going to turn people to the Lord. But I think there's a principle found in here and a strong indication that in part of that process, a leading figure in changing people's hearts is going to be the fathers. The fathers are going to lead the way in conversion to righteousness for their families. And again, this is going to take place when John was preaching repentance and turning people to the hearts of God. But it shows us, more importantly, just how important the father is within the family. If we could, there we go. Yeah, happy Father's Day. That's what I was trying to get at. That's what we want to do today. And we're going to look at what makes up a godly father. Is it individuals like Homer Simpson and Al Bundy? Certainly not. We need to find a better example and pattern for fatherhood and what a godly father actually looks like in our communities today. God has designed man for the fathering role. Mankind is designed to take on the responsibility to be the spiritual and moral leader within the home. And the saying's true: as the father goes, so goes the family, and as the family goes, so goes a country. We're in a time right now that we want to change the direction our nation's heading. We want to change the world around us and maybe some of the things in the pathways that we're heading, and it starts within the home. And maybe it starts with us fathers this morning. So if we can take an introspective look at ourselves and see what corrections and changes I can make, then maybe we can change this nation. One recent study said this: kids that have fathers who are highly involved within the family, who are very active within the dynamic of the family home, have children that are more competent, who are able to think clearer, who are able to have less stress in their life, who have increased amount of empathy and have more self-control. And I think we're all familiar with the homes that have fathers that are absent or just not involved in all. They're going to create more difficulties, more challenges, more struggles. Not saying that those families can't be successful, but I think we can understand that having both parents, certainly the father involved in the family, is just going to be a greater blessing on the children and everyone who's involved. I grew up in a family where both parents were present, both grandparents were present, and it was a wonderful blessing. And so I sympathize and I relate to those who may not have that, who may have a situation or in a condition that they don't have both parents and they can't help it. It's not a decision they made. It's just the way things had turned out. And we as a church family certainly want to acknowledge and recognize those if they're part of our membership, and we want to love and support them. But also at the same time, we always want to encourage the family structure, the family design, which includes father and mother in the institution of family. So that's what we want to try to look at this morning. Because the greatest need that I can think of on a day to honor dad or to discuss fatherhood is we need individuals to step up, step into action, and to be the fathers that God wants them to be, to take on the responsibilities that God has given us. There's no better time to do that than today. And that's going to be our aim for this morning's lesson. We want to try to pattern ourselves after the biblical example. Here's the first thing a godly father is going to do. He has to love the Heavenly Father. Implied within the point itself, a godly father is going to be a Christian father. He has to love God first. God must be the priority in his life. If God is not the main thing in a father's life, then nothing else we discuss is even going to matter. Because if you don't love God first, if God is not priority, if you don't seek first his kingdom and his righteousness first, then you can't be that godly father figure that God has designed. A godly father and what he looks like when you look at his relationships and how he lives, he's going to put God first. There's no greater being than God, and the Father knows this. God had designed the home. He's provided it. He governs it. He watches over it. And this is exactly what Moses was telling the children of Israel when he was passing this information on to them. He said, you first must love God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And notice what Moses says here in some of the language, moving from well, we'll look at that in a moment, moving from singular to plural. Verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now, here's the question for us. Who's going to lead the family in this? Who's going to decide to take it upon themselves and show the family how to love God? You know, many times if you look at the family dynamic, especially in America or in our Western culture, who's leading the family in the spiritual aspect? Typically, it's the mom. And I'm here to tell you this morning, fathers, step up, step in. Mothers don't need to be leading in the moral and spiritual aspect of your family. It needs to be dad. Dads need to do that. It's our responsibility. That's the way God has structured our family. Godly fathers lead the way in loving the Heavenly Father. And the only way to do that is by them doing it first. And that's exactly, again, what Moses was telling the children of Israel. Let's read on in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. How often should a father be leading the way to loving the Heavenly Father? And the answer is all the time. Notice that again, because this is very powerful. You shall teach them diligently to your children when you talk, when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Is there ever a time that you are not leading the family to love God first? No. It should be all the time. Godly fathers love the Heavenly Father. These aren't just fuzzy words that we speak. There aren't just warm feelings that we give. It's through obedience. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21, he has my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, or some translations say grievous. A father shows the family how to love God first. And there's great wisdom and there's great blessings in this. And this is the result. A godly father is going to raise godly children. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 22, and most of you probably know this text, but we're going to try to examine it from a different angle this morning. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. For some, this is going to be a memory verse. I want you to consider it for a moment, so I'm going to give a brief pause as we read it. Because most of you are going to have previously studied this or heard discussions on this. And so I want to pause and give your minds a second to soak it in, and then I want to try to approach it from a different angle. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me ask you this. Are all kids the same? The wording "in the way" in the Hebrew language actually indicates to us that it is the father and mother's responsibility to know your children. Know your children. What do I mean by that? Not all kids are created the same. They're going to learn differently. They're going to be able to receive discipline differently. They're going to be able to be instructed differently. And so it's the father and mother's obligation to know your child in the best way that you can train them. Some kids are going to be more blessed in certain areas than other kids. Some are going to be able to receive verbal instruction. Some need imagery. Some need stories. And it's the mother and father's obligation to know your kid. And how do you get to know your kid? You got to spend time with them. You got to have discourse. You got to have conversation. You got to get involved in their life. Know what they're interested in. Don't push them in a direction that God has not created them. Don't push them in an area that God has not given them ability. Know their strengths and their weaknesses. But how often do parents try to push their kids in the direction that they want them to go? Train up the child in the way that you want to push them. And that's not what the text says. Train up the child in the way he should go, in the way that God has designed him and made them. And certainly, I don't want to neglect all the previous lessons that you've probably heard from this passage in Proverbs 22:6. We want to push them and direct them and know them how to grow them spiritually. That's really our aim. Train them in the way that he should go. This is going to take spending time with them. It's going to take hard work and labor. It's going to take patience. It's going to take a lot of our resources and finances. It's going to take a lot of effort on our part to raise up godly children. And again, certainly this is going to include pushing them in the direction of godliness. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18 and look at this text. Genesis 18. And this is the singular plural I was trying to get to earlier. Genesis 18, and speaking of Abraham, Genesis 18 verse 19. In talking about Abraham, verse 16, then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham surely shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Notice what Abraham's to do with his offspring. He's going to guide them and teach them in the way of the Lord. That now the whole family dynamic, the whole family is now following the way of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go. He should go in a spiritual direction. And it's going to take us as parents to know our kids and the best way to instruct them, the best way to discipline, the best way to get the information that God needs them to have so they can go in the right way. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Give your kids something to fall back on when life gets difficult. When they grow up and they're able to make adult decisions for themselves, give them something in the training that they can fall back on. Well, I know where to go to get help. I know where to go to seek spiritual guidance. I know where I belong. It's in the Lord's house. Godly fathers raise godly children. And they do this by also setting the example, setting the tone for the home. So it's one thing to hear something, it's another thing to see it lived out in a person's life. And that's just the power of example that we find filled throughout all the scriptures. Even the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said to them, I was like a father to you. I was like a mother figure to you. In essence, he's saying, I was the example to you. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be ye followers of me as I am a follower of Christ. Paul set the example. He knew how powerful it was to be an example for others to follow. Certainly, godly fathers set the example for the home. How do they do this? By being faithful to God. How about this one? A godly father is going to place great value and importance on the design of marriage. Now, how do you teach that to your kids? Do the kids see in you how valuable and important mom is? Do the kids hear you speak well of the mother? Do the kids see how much you love their mother? Do they see how you put mom first in your life? You need to teach and instruct the kids on the value of marriage and how wonderful a blessing your wife is. Now, you have to ask this question for yourself. Is that what they hear and see in your life? Or do they hear and see something else that they shouldn't see? Speak well of mom. Show them how valuable, how wonderful she is. Set the example in the home. Next, certainly godly fathers are going to seek forgiveness. Dads aren't perfect. We're human beings. We make mistakes. And some mistakes that we make are spiritual in nature, are very clear and obvious. If a father lies, then that's wrong. If a father is hypocritical, that's wrong. If he explodes in anger and rage, then that's wrong. But what about the things that are not so obvious or not so sinful? What about a heavy workload? How often do you see or hear fathers trying to provide for the family, taking a lot of stress on themselves, taking a lot of hours on the job or occupation that they're involved with, taking a lot of time to spend in the workplace to try to provide that better quality of life for the family at the cost of spending quality time with the kids? Dads need forgiveness. That's not right. And I know it can be a great stress and a great strain on our lives because you have to have something to put on the table. But really, is there anything worth losing your family's spiritual life, spiritual guidance? Is there anything worth that? And the answer is no. Nothing's worth that. As fathers, it's hard. It's going to be difficult. It's a great challenge that's placed before us. We must find the time. We must find the time to get involved in their lives. Godly fathers are going to seek forgiveness. Because God created it, because God designed the home, we have an adversary. We have someone who's putting the family dynamic under attack, and it's going to be Satan. He's trying to destroy the home. How does he try to destroy the home? Through divorce, immorality, busyness, confusion, lack of spiritual leadership, materialism, tolerance to the world. He's trying to destroy it. Anything that God places in our way as a great blessing in our life, Satan's going to try to remove it. He's going to try to destroy it. Satan is not a creative being. He's a destructive being. God is the one who creates. God is the one who designs. And Satan, the one who opposes, the adversary, is the one who comes in and he wants to rip it to pieces. Godly fathers must protect the home from Satan, from the devil. I said this a few years back, and it might have been, I can't think if it was during a time that we were in the pandemic, so most of you might have been home trying to watch online, so you might have missed it. How do you know that Satan's in the home? Maybe when your son or daughter shows up and says, you know what, I just don't feel pretty. I don't feel good enough. You know what, I don't feel like I'm included. I feel separated. You know what, I don't feel like I'm good enough. If you have your child growing up and they come to you and say that, they are under attack. Do us as fathers recognize that? It's our job, it's our responsibility to protect the home. He said, don't worry about it, just forget about it. You know what, sometimes kids are mean. No, this is when a father's active, when he steps up and he steps in and he gets involved and he shows the child what they're up against. Lead them in a godly fashion. Lead them in a spiritual direction. Protect your home from the enemy, the devil. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I will protect the home and I will serve the Lord. I'm going to push them in a spiritual direction. And the best service that you can give to your family is leading them in the way to heaven. Leading them in the pathway to the everlasting. This is the greatest gift that a father can pass on to his children and onto his family members, is the hope of eternal life. In the end, nothing else, and let me repeat this, in the end, at judgment, nothing else is going to matter other than, did you lead the family to everlasting or not? Did you spend time in Bible study? Did you spend time in prayer? Did you teach the kids how to sing when you're joyous? Did you teach the kids how to mourn and how to sob properly? Not the wrong way, but the right way. Did you teach them the importance of life and death? It's going to take time, it's going to take effort, but someone's got to lead that charge. And I'm telling you today that many times in many homes, it's the mother doing it all by herself. Dads, it's time that we step up, that we take on our God-given responsibility. And the way that we do this is by following the Heavenly Father. Not only do we love God, but we follow God. We follow in His example that He set for us. And what's beautiful and wonderful about God is God's not going to give us anything, a responsibility or a task at hand that He Himself is not going to occupy and take on Himself. I mean, when God says, I want elders in the congregation, I want shepherds in the church, why is He able to say that? Because why? He is the good shepherd. When He says, I want deacons to be of service to the congregation in the church, well, He's able to say that because God occupied the position and took on the role of servant. He came to serve, not to be served. Lastly, why do we call God Father? Because He is the perfect example to us of what a father needs to be like. God Himself is a father. He occupies that position. He designed it. He instituted it. And if we follow Him, then we'll be a father like Him, who guides, who loves with fairness and consistency. And so I encourage you today as we begin to close out this lesson, in our last slide, if we could go to the next one. Today is the day to be a godly father. Today is your opportunity. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I'm not a Christian. Well, now is your opportunity to become a Christian. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you acknowledge, you know what, I have not taken the lead. I have not fulfilled my obligation and responsibilities to be a godly father. And I'd like to repent of that. We would love for you to become that godly father that he has designed today. If you need to repent of sins, if you need to become a Christian, come forward as we stand and